This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Audacy State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We're just past Valentine's Day, and the biggest Valentine's present that Stephen Alex Cohn gave to Mets fans, Juan Soto, arrived in Port St. Lucie in Mets camp today, and it felt like a holiday for Mets fans. To talk about the Mets, Juan Soto, and the storylines coming into spring training, we bring in Dave Lennon from Newsday, baseball columnist. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Good, Lori. I was just trying to think of how many dozen roses you can buy for $765 million. I haven't my calculator on my phone. I was still working through that before you came on.
So do Mets fans, Juan Soto showed up today. Well, let's start with the first thing. That press conference, after that intro press conference, there were some people who were worried that Juan Soto's jersey was a little tight in the front, as if he had put on some weight. Did he look husky, or did he look perfectly fine and in shape today?
No, he looked like he was in shape. I think maybe he was just had on his winter weight when he came in for the press conference that day at Citi Field. Listen, I was at that press conference at Citi Field that day. Maybe people were looking at those photos much closer than I was. It looked the same to me from seeing him with the Yankees,
okay,
as well. And when he came into camp today, yeah, he looked in shape and ready to go.
All right, so we put that to bed. Juan Soto reports to camp. What was the atmosphere like when you look around at Mets fans versus, you've been covering New York baseball a long time, and certainly you've been to a lot of Mets camps, and optimism with, you know, Steve and Alex Cohn as the owners, certainly in the last few years, but what was the vibe and feeling around Port St. Lucie and the Mets today with Juan Soto there?
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with a couple of the writers, you know, this afternoon, because we were trying to kind of compare it, you know, to what we've seen in past springs where, you know, kind of a big star has come in. And, you know, I was thinking of Pedro Martinez.
Yep.
For one of the years, he was an off-season signing, clearly a big star during that time. I mean, Piazza was a trade,
Beltran,
you know, during the season
Carlos
before.
Beltran, yeah.
Yeah, Beltran coming in. So, but this seemed different, you know, just because of the amount of TV cameras and photographers that were camped out, you know, just waiting for him to come to the field for the first time. And just basically kind of the whole crowd just moving with him whenever he went from field one to stretch, went back inside, came back out on the main field to take batting practice. And of course, you know, that was a huge deal. You know, for those of us that were, you know, that also cover the Yankees, you know, we saw this play out all last year over in Tampa, a very similar thing. But for the Mets, it was all brand new. And it was a spectacle. I mean, people were excited to see him show up in Port St. Lucie. The fans were about two deep around the fence, you know, just to watch him stretch over on field one. So everybody wanted to catch a glimpse of him. You know, nobody's ever seen what a $765 million baseball player looked like before. And that's what Juan Soto is. So, you know, there's a lot, you know, to the Juan Soto experience coming in here. And, you know, today was day one of really kind of that excitement kicking off.
And how did he seem to be taking it all in, basking in it? Was he, as you said, look, he's used to this and had it last year with the Yankees as well, being that, you know, star, but, and the New York media and all of that. But did he seem, you know, quite comfortable and very at home on day one?
You know, during the day as it went along, you know, running through his paces and, you know, taking BP indoors and then going out to stretch and then outside, you know, he just seemed normal. I mean, it just seemed like a regular spring training routine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he joked with Francisco Alvarez and, you know, talked to some of the other guys and just was kind of getting his, you know, just kind of adjusting to the whole thing. And there was a private moment kind of with me and a couple other guys when we talked to him for a minute in the clubhouse. And, you know, he admitted to being a little nervous, you know, just like first day of school type nerves, mm-hmm. just because he was with a new team and, you know, he didn't really know a lot of guys in this clubhouse. So, but you wouldn't have known it, you know, just seeing him, you know, the press conference, I thought he handled it perfectly fine. You know, answered all the questions pretty smoothly, you know, took it all in stride. I think the Mets PR crew would say he aced it from their perspective. You know, talked a lot about how important winning was and how he wanted to do that a lot during his 15 years in Flushing. Notice he didn't mention the opt-outs in that conversation. But yeah, he seemed like he was, for day one, his mindset seemed to be all about getting down to business. He did seem genuinely excited to get down to the business of baseball with the Mets and getting ready to win and win as soon as possible.
One player he knows and is comfortable with is obviously Francisco Lindor. And I know you wrote a story about this. We've been seeing this bandied about. Do you expect the Mets to name Francisco Lindor as the captain of this team? Or is that something that will be continue to be more of an unofficial role?
I don't think it's going to happen yet. You know, as I mentioned in the thing that I wrote, in the column I wrote today, as you know, he really hasn't been relatively with the Mets for that long. I mean, he was in Cleveland longer than he's been with the Mets so far. And also when you look at David Wright, you know, Wright was with the Mets for 9 years before he was named captain. So I think there is a 10-year thing involved here. I mean, Lindor has certainly overcome a little of the bumpy adjustment that he had in the first couple of years since coming to the Mets to really grow into being the unquestioned leader of this team, whether it's by example, whether it's, you know, turning in an MVP-type performance like he did last year, being the spokesman to the media in good times and in bad. I think he checks all the boxes to do it. I mean, we know times have changed in baseball, right? I mean, no other teams really have captains except for the Yankees, you know, which is certainly a big deal for that franchise. And to, you know, a similar extent, you know, the Mets have kind of, you know, carried on that tradition too. I mean, Gianfranco was captain, Keith Hernandez, Gary Carter. So, you know, there's been some big names that have carried
David Wright.
Sure, David Wright before this. Mm-hmm. So, and I think, you know, and David Wright of the most recent vintage and what a lot of this next generation will remember, you know, it was really, you know, that's a tough act to follow,
yep.
You know, in Mets land to follow David Wright in that. But I think Lindor is getting there. And I think that, you know, as we talk more about captain and whether it's wearing the C or whether it's unofficial, I think we've all come to recognize, and I think the team does too, that Lindor certainly serves that function for the team now.
Talking to Dave Lennon about the Mets and the start of spring training, and I know it's early, but as you are, you know, starting to be around the players, any sense that there's, from the Mets themselves, from the players, any concerns that Pete Alonso, the contract not exactly being what he wanted in terms of longevity? Now there's another, an opt-out after this year, the pressure of last year. What do you think Pete's mindset is going to be coming into the season?
I mean, I think, Lori, tomorrow Pete's arrival in camp, and he's going to also do a news conference, really, I think, is going to be the most fascinating of them all.
Yep.
You know, I think Soto was really the spectacle today, but, you know, we weren't expecting him to say anything that crazy, or, you know, his mindset was pretty much what we thought it would be, and we got what we anticipated from Soto. For Alonso, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what his reaction to this whole thing was. I mean, Alonso, after Soto signed, which seems like a lifetime ago, you know, back in December, you know, this Pete saga, you know, just went on forever. Yeah. And there was a lot of talking about, you know, how much the Mets were interested in him. You know, was Pete going to go to Toronto? The Steve Cohen comments during Amazing Day, the Fan Fest at Citi Field, really the brinkmanship, the game of chicken, who would blink first. There was a lot of intrigue packed into these Alonso negotiations. So, you know, Stearns the other day said that, you know, when Pete came in for his physical, you know, which we didn't see, that was before the media was around, that he was, you know, excited to be back in Port St. Lucie. But,
yeah,
you know,
we'll see.
There has to be a lot of mixed feelings there.
You know, I think so.
I certainly think he's happy back with the Mets, Lori. I think that's where he wanted to be all along.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that the caveat there is he didn't want to be back to the Mets on these terms.
Right.
You know, he expected to be a Met for a much longer period of time, whether it was 5 years,
yeah,
whether it was six, whether it was seven. Hey, they offered him that, you know, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So he could have had that. So the fact that it is where it is now, you know, we'll be able to tell if Pete's just trying to put on a brave face or if he really believes it. So like I said, his reaction when he comes into camp is going to be really interesting. The Mets, for their part, you know, they're happy to have him back. You know, Lindor said it the other day. Nimmo, of course, who's friends with Pete. Jeff McNeil. Even Soto today, you know, led off his news conference, you know, by saying that he, you know, hey, it's great that Alonso's back, and talked about the importance of having him in the lineup. So bottom line, Lori, I think obviously the Mets are a much better team with Alonso now than if they didn't have him. And as this team tries to win a World Series this year, I think that's the most important thing.
If the goal is to win a World Series, which we know it is, they got to the NLCS last year. The Dodgers obviously are a juggernaut. The lineup looks great. The bullpen is better. Starting pitching, if there's an Achilles heel, a fatal flaw of this Mets team, how much do we trust David Stearns? He pulled it off last year, but with the question marks, Clay Holmes converting from, you know, relief pitcher to starter, is this team still a top of the rotation starter away from being a title contender?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the Dodgers last year, Lori, strangely enough. I mean, they won the World Series with their rotation decimated.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the same time, you know, they're the deepest starting pitching team you're ever going to see, maybe in history, with the crew that they're rolling out there this year. But it was really for them, you know, they barely got to the end of the World Series with a rotation. So that is an example of, if you have depth and you can at least keep guys out there churning through innings for you, you know, you have a chance. And I think that's how Stearns has approached this. Listen, last year's rotation outperformed any of the rosiest projections we could have had for it. You know, they got career years out of guys that haven't been healthy for 3, 4, 5 years before that happened. So, you know, are we looking at a case where lightning can strike twice for Stearns? Maybe. I mean, Senga, if he's healthy, has the potential to be, an ace-type pitcher. Manaea, I think, pitched great last year, but can he still, come back without people adjusting to him and catching up to him from last year? That remains to be seen. Holmes has looked good so far. He's already been building up. He had three essentially innings the other day that he pitched of live batting practice. Frankie Montas, that's a pretty big question mark there, yeah. Obviously. David Peterson's coming off a very good year. So, they're trying to build in the depth here. Can they have a couple of the young guys come up like a Sproat and help them up at some point? I think the thing to remember with this, for one, we see a lot of star pitchers get hurt. Sign these guys to big contracts. There's no guarantees they're going to stay healthy. The other thing is, and Stearns likes to say this a lot, the opening day roster is the roster for one day. And the roster can go through a lot of changes over the course of the year. And if the Mets have pitching issues as the year goes on, they can always make a deal for another pitcher to bring one in here. And I think they're going to remain flexible to be able to do that. So I know people like to hyperventilate when they look at the rotation now and they don't see a Max Fried or a Corbin Burns or who else you want to name that they could have had as a big free agent starter this year, Sasaki. But let's see how these guys work their way into it. Let's see how they perform in spring training. Let's see if they stay healthy. And if they do stay healthy, I think they have a shot to be pretty solid, at least for the start of the season.
All right. Dave Lennon from Newsday does a great job. Baseball columnist. You can follow him on social media as well as in the paper. Dave, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Oh, so, Laurie, it's great to be talking about actual live baseball again.
I know.
So that's fun, right?
I know. I'm planning on getting down there at some point in March, maybe, and I'll catch a little action.
Great.
But, hope to see you soon.